Boy, I'm a guest speaker here at Encourage Church. Those of you that don't know me, welcome. I'm Roy. So today's topic, what was that? Oh, thank you. So today's topic is one about somebody we all know, Jesus Christ. Topic title is Following Jesus Christ. Now we all know who he is, what he's done, the salvation, but do we all follow him? That's the true question. We're going to start it off with Luke 9:23. Luke 9:23 says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Now, we're going to find out today how much follow me and follow him comes up. This is a line that Jesus used a lot during his missionary work and his ministry and everything that he did throughout his life. A lot of people today have to know the difference between admiring Jesus and following Jesus. Many people admire Jesus. We admire his love, his compassion, his salvation, what he went through for us. But Jesus didn't just ask us to admire him. He asked us to follow him. And it's simple. As Jesus traveled throughout Israel, urging people to repent and believe the gospel, follow me was a strong term that he used in everything. At the beginning of his ministry, he called the first disciples with the terse command, follow me. And he said, I will make you fishers of men. And as his ministry progressed, he told the crowds, and this is Mark 8:34. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And at the end of his earthly ministry, he recommissioned the repentant Peter with the words, follow me. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I think he wants us to follow him. That's just what I'm reading. So what does it really mean to follow Jesus? That's the question. Following Jesus begins when we respond to his call to repent and believe in the gospel. The good news that God loves us and has taken the initiative to reconcile us by giving his only son to atone for our sins. And it awakens us to God's grace and moves us to what we need to do to live a Christ-like life. When we turn our attention to what the Bible shows us about how to actually follow Jesus in daily life, two things come up immediately, and it comes up all throughout the Bible. And that's understanding and obeying. Obeying his teachings and following his example. Jesus says this himself, which serves as a powerful reason to follow him. Matthew 7:24-27 says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it as wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock, through the rain comes in torrents, and the floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against that house. It won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rain and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. The point Jesus is making in this statement and these words is building one's life on obedience. That is Matthew 7:24-27. You're welcome. He's making the point of building a life on obedience to his teaching, which is wise to sustain yourself on bedrock. That's what he put out to his disciples with all the opposition they were going to face going into the world at that time to spread the word. This is a strong example, like we saw later on in the Bible with Paul and Barnabas when they went out. Then the disobedience is to his word is folly and it leads to ruin. And it has a part of surely as a house is built on sand, it will not withstand the opposition. If we want to follow Jesus, then we will certainly want to begin where the first disciples did, with understanding and obeying the foundational teachings. An example of this is something in my personal life. My mother throughout the majority of my entire childhood and all my siblings' childhood was in a bad way. She could tell you the Bible front to back, back to front. It's amazing how well she knows the Bible. But she didn't follow Jesus. And for about 20 years, she was stuck in a very dark place. Something happened, changed her life forever. She came back and then she picked up that obedience part of following Jesus. And here we are 17 years later, and she's perfect. She hasn't went back to any old ways, no bad habits, no run-ins with law enforcement. And that's proof of the obedience and the disobedience that comes with following Jesus. Following Jesus also involves following his example. He talks about it in the upper room where he washed the disciples' feet. And he says, if I, then your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done to you. For those who don't know, that's John 13, 14 and 15. Now, I'm not saying go home and wash each other's feet because some people don't even wash their dishes. So, and what about a little joke? Why did the sock go missing? To find a soulmate. All right. So the lesson Jesus was teaching is important because it serves as a way of proving humility and compassion for one another. You have to learn to be a serving leader, not just a leader. It's the old, you have to learn to crawl before you can walk method. This was critically important lesson. They had to be slow to learn because washing their feet was extraordinarily effective. We can tell somebody something or give them an example of something a million times and they don't do it until you physically have to do it. And then they learn the true meaning of it and the proper way of doing that task. So that's just, you know, sometimes seeing the concrete examples isn't enough. And Jesus showed that, and he had everybody do the same thing. Also, to follow Jesus is to become like Jesus. Following Jesus then entails both obeying his teachings and imitating his examples. But this is not the sum of the matter. For obeying and imitating are not ends in themselves, but means to a greater end. The end goal of discipleship is to become like Jesus himself. It's to think as he thought, to feel as he felt, to act as he acted, and desire what he desired. As John puts it, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Because Jesus is the image of God in human form. So as we become more and more like him, the image of God is increasingly restored in our lives. I'm a prime example of that with growing up how I did, going to church all the time and everything. I went in the Marines at 18, decided I was going to go on my own path and have fun. Everything I wanted and I was praying about earlier in life never occurred. Then, almost 16 years later, I said a prayer the first time in years, and my wife showed up in minutes. And ever since then, my life has completely changed. That's an example of once you begin to trust in God and begin to follow Christ, things do change. God will increase in your life. and I know he has in mind. A key part of this process is gaining a clearer knowledge of Jesus as he is presented to us in Scripture. I said this before in the first time I ever taught here, that the Bible is God's voice breath, and that is the guidelines for living a spiritually led life. And time-honored way of doing this is to consistently and prayerfully read the Gospels and reflect on life and the teachings of Jesus. And as we dig our minds and hearts into the Gospel, two major defining characteristics of Jesus come up throughout the whole Bible. And that is his striking clarity of faith and love. Secured in the love of God, Jesus lived with an unshakable trust in the Heavenly Father and wholeheartedness, love for God and others. If we want to become like Jesus, faith and love must become defining characteristics of our lives too. So how do we follow Christ in the world today? As we all know, the time that the Bible was written to today, we're talking thousands of years, the differences and changes in culture. One of the saddest commentaries of the church in the West today is the weakness of many people's faith. That's not saying we don't believe in God or anything like that. At my home church, I teach in what's called an equip class. I had a question when I was teaching about Paul and Barnabas going around doing the missionary work, how Paul healed somebody that was crippled his whole life, how he struck blindness upon a fake prophet who said his name was Bar-Jesus. She asked, how come we don't see the miracles like that today? The simple answer is, in the Western world of today, it's the weakness in our faith. Secularism has seriously eroded our belief in the Almighty, miracle-working God of the Bible who answers the prayers and the people of it intervenes in the affairs of the world. We have become more of a admiration of just knowing instead of following. We have embraced a reduction that acknowledges faith in Christ as essential for salvation, but largely ignores the necessity of living by faith after that. We all know what we got to do to get there. We just don't all do it. How many of us really live each day with a confident trust in God to do what he says he will do? How many of us take him at his word and act with the expectation that he will be faithful? This is the kind of faith that Jesus calls us to exercise as we seek to follow him. I'm guilty of it. I'm not perfect. Nobody is perfect. But that's the things we deal with in society today, the modern world. It's the kind of faith we see in William Carey. For those of you who don't know who William Carey is, he's considered the father of the modern day missionaries. He's the one who said, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Or Hudson Taylor, he's another one. He's the famed missionary that brought the gospel and Jesus Christ to China. China didn't believe in Jesus Christ, and everybody here knows China has more idols than any country on the planet. The dragon, the Buddha, the year of this, the year of that. He changed that. Then we have another person, and this is probably the strongest example of faith in the world today and somebody that truly follows Jesus. His name is George Muller of Bristol. George Muller, he spent decades by simple faith in God and his word. He was somebody who ran a lot of orphanages and shelters, and he had no money to do this. He always looked to God, he prayed, and he asked for the funding, the food, the will to educate, and everything to supply for the orphans, and everything came for decades. Crazy part is, he never mentioned this to anybody here on earth. He just spoke to God about it, and everything came. That is the level of faith that many people are missing in today's world. we admire, but we're not truly following. Our core, such as faith, does not suddenly appear in our lives. It is something that grows over time as we read and inwardly digest God's word with the help of the Holy Spirit and prayerfully act on it with the obedience of faith. When we do this, God uses the needs, opportunities, and circumstances of our lives as a training ground to help us grow in faith. It fulfills his purpose and brings him glory. At the heart of following Jesus, then, is walking by faith in God, just as Jesus did, and not living by reliance on our own limited wisdom and resources. So the next thing is, how do we love like Jesus did? Jesus teaches that God still seeks the wholehearted love of his people, and that responding to his love is to be our highest priority. Thus, we should spend no effort in seeking to grow in love. But what is love? Now, I'm sure everybody in this room has said at one point, what is love, or we've pondered on it. It's become more of a feeling. Yeah, I love my wife because I feel I love her. I feel I love God's people. It's a feeling. Now, I'm not saying love isn't a important factor in it. It's just the feeling and the sentiment of it tends to color our thinking. It is easy for us to unconsciously call to love and God and reduce it to a matter of just the feeling. That's it. But while feeling is certainly a part of loving God, it is not the heart of the matter. In the Bible, the essence of love, loving God, is to give ourselves fully to him who first loved us. It's to surrender to his love and devote ourselves to him. That is the point of all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul. Just as the woman gives herself to a man who deeply loves her and asks her hand in marriage. So we are called to give ourselves to God, who loves us and has redeemed us at the price of his own son, which we all know. From the being of an arbitrary demand, this command is entirely of love. And we see that. How many people would give their child to save somebody today? That's the type of love God has for us, so why don't we return the favor? You may wonder how you could possibly love God this way. To be sure, it's not a natural human ability. Paul tells us that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That was said in Romans 5:5. And this love grows as we continue to live a gospel-centered life, meditating on and reminding ourselves daily of God's love for us in Christ's sacrifice for us. Assurance that God loves you deeply evokes an answering love for him to increase over time and is essential to living a Christian-like life. We already know two great characteristics of Jesus was his faith and his love. So you have the faith down. Now you need to get the love part down. Some people today mistaken obedience and legalism and see it as the enemy of grace. But actually, it's the opposite. It's true. Legalism comes from trying to earn God's favor by obedience and sacrifice. And the Pharisees were famous for this. And we can easily fall into the same commitment and obedience today that they did, without grounding ourselves in grace and love. Obedience offered in love is the fruit of grace, and it's the anointed to legalism. The second part of the great commandment, to love our neighbor as ourselves, which originates in Leviticus 19:18. And it reflects the nature of God and his deep concern that we seek the good of others and bless them. And again, Many people are confused about what it means to love our neighbor. That doesn't mean the emotional warmth or we have to have the closeness towards them. It is the acting of their best interest of the other person. That's what Jesus did. And that's how we should be if we want to follow Jesus the correct way. Jesus makes this very clear when he says in Matthew 7:12, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." That's a wonderful, liberating command, because while it's not possible to feel emotional close to everyone we meet, it definitely is possible to act in their best interest. We can always treat them as we would want to be treated. I experience this all the time in law enforcement. I'm sure we all are aware of how it is in today's time as far as law enforcement and the general public goes. I do my best, sometimes I fail, to treat everyone the same way I want to be treated. And that is because I simply try to apply God's ways to every situation that I can. Sometimes you really can't, but a good example is that is what I do. I treat others how I want to be treated. I look for the ways of helping, the ways of serving, being a serving leader, not just showing up as an authority figure or someone that's there to change somebody's freedom. So just remember, we always treat them as we want to be treated. That's how Jesus did it. We got to love as Jesus loved. We have to obey and understand the teachings of the Bible. I'm dealing with someone else who is going through a Bible study, and he's digging deeper into the Word, and he's getting a little misconstrued. But I don't go at him crazy or anything like that. I work with him, and I treat him how I want him to treat me. But I'm also trying to get him to understand and obey the Word that is in front of him. The important part that a lot of people have to understand with the Bible today, in today's world anyway, is you get what the stories and the words mean, not what they say at face value. The reason I say that is because when people see the obedience part and the understanding, they'll read the whole Bible and they'll say, this contradicts it here. This says this here and it says this over here. Or why should I obey this and this person did it here and it's in God's Word? That's where it comes into the understanding and the obedience of it. That's where you gotta look to God. You gotta do that prayful time. Spend that alone time with God, just as Jesus did. Jesus went out many times throughout his ministries with people to pray and speak to the Lord. He was met with opposition and temptation. He prayed to stay straight on the path and understanding. So, to close out today, we know now the basics of what it truly means to follow Jesus Christ. What he truly means by follow me. To walk as Jesus walked, and live like Jesus. Jesus knows we are not strong enough to follow these things on our own. He knows that. God knows that. And Jesus knows we cannot follow him without a power that is beyond ourselves. And this is why he sent the Holy Spirit to empower us. Just as everybody knows, from the dust we were created to the dust we shall return, it was God breathed life into us in the Holy Spirit. Everybody is already born with everything that is needed. You just have to understand and obey it. This is why we are given that salvation he endured so much for us. Jesus knows we needed help, and that is why God sent him and ourselves to empower us with the Holy Spirit. Because he knew we were entering a world that was full of sin. And in order to stay true as much as we can to follow him and still have that salvation, we need a power that was beyond all of us. And that's why he sent his son to die for us, to give us that salvation after death here. But day by day, as we walk in faith and obedience, the Spirit will produce in us the character of Jesus. Joy, love, peace, patience, kind, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. This is the basics that we all need to be true followers of Jesus. As I said in the beginning, everybody knows who Jesus is, even the ones that say he's not real. I've spoke to people who said they don't believe anything in the Bible, but they know who Jesus is. They know what he did. They know who God is. It's just a part of being a follower. And some people take that as, oh, do I really want to follow something or do I want to be my own leader? I was my own leader. It didn't get me anything. So I accepted the understanding and the obedience of it, and I began to follow Christ the way it was meant to be. My life changed. All my life I prayed for a wife and a white picket fence and kids and thought on Christmas, I can't wait to have a family to buy gifts for. Never happened. And how, I don't know, but that was God. And when I decided I was going to go back to it, one prayer led to my life changing forever. And that was minutes later. So that's just proof that the obedience part of this is where you get your bedrock. The disobedience is where it leads you on sand. You'll never get a solid foundation. The understanding of it is reading the Bible, following its laws, the rules, what it teaches, the meaning of it, and living to your best of your ability. Don't think, oh, because I messed up, that's it. No, that's not it. That's why Jesus came and did what he did for us. We know, even today, the power that it takes to follow him to the letter is very difficult. I mean, I'm sure we've all been there. Somebody will cut you off in traffic and it's over with. I mean, hopefully nobody else is in the car. God wasn't listening at that moment, but it's what happens. But then where's the love for thy neighbor? So to end it out, I'll give us a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus into this world to save us and show us how to live. Lord Jesus, I want to follow you with my whole heart. Help me to trust you, listen to your voice, and obey your word. Give me the strength to leave behind anything that keeps me from you. Teaching me to love others as you have loved me. Help me to forgive, to serve, to show kindness, and to be light wherever I go. Jesus, guide my steps each day. Let my words, my choices, and my actions reflect you. I surrender my plans, my dreams, my worries, and my future into your hands. Help me remember that I do not have to walk in this journey alone. You are with me every step of the way, today and every day. I choose to follow you. And all God's people said, amen.